Thank you, Wayne. I'm from Virginia, Virginia Tech at the Tidewater Research Center, and I'm talking a little bit about early season growth, improving early season growth in cotton using banded placement of phosphorus and potassium with strip tillage as well as a 2x2 placement. The primary goal or justification for my project is, in Virginia, we have no data on banded starter fertilizers in cotton. And the primary application method is a broadcast application of a bulk blended granular fertilizer of potash and phosphorus. But Carl Crozier in North Carolina, right across the line in Plymouth, has found that he gets an average lint yield of 67 kilograms or 60 pounds per acre of lint more when they use a banded started phosphorus fertilizer, even in soils testing high in phosphorus soil test levels. And with our new higher yielding, earlier maturing varieties we grow in Virginia, it puts a greater demand in a shorter bloom period to have those nutrients available in the soil. So banding fertilizer gives us a concentrated band of, we know for phosphorus, that's more plant available because it doesn't, is not absorbed to soil colloids. And also a strip tillage system is the primary system, production system in Virginia. So we have a method of placing phosphorus in different zones throughout the soil profile. And what we're doing is actually placing phosphorus and potassium as well as nitrogen and sulfur in a nutrient mixture at 6, 9, and 12 inches deep. And here's a picture of our ripper shank that we've modified with stainless steel tubes to place that phosphorus. And the justification for this is having multiple bands of a high nutrient-rich zone for plant roots, cotton roots to grow into directly underneath the row. So we wanted to evaluate these fertilizer placement techniques for early season development, plant population, because we are using a complete nutrient mix. So I was worried a little bit about any injury that we may see on the cotton from these concentrated zones, as well as plant height. We measured early season height from the second leaf stage. Nutrient status during the bloom period. Do we see increased nutrient concentrations in the petiole as well as leaf tissue samples? And then lint yield and quality. We had two locations. The first is at the Tidewater AREC in Suffolk, Virginia, and then one at the Peanut Belt Research Center in Lewiston. Like I mentioned, the deep placement with strip tillage would be applied at 15. I apologize, this is in metric, but 15 centimeters, 23 and 30 centimeters, or 6, 9, and 12 inches below the row. And this was done 1 to 2 weeks prior to planting. And then we also had a 2x2 banding at planting with these starter fertilizer treatments. The liquid sources we used for phosphorus and potassium were ammonium polyphosphate, 10-34-0, potassium thiosulfate, which is a 00-25-17-S, and the soil test recommendation rates were 40 pounds of P2O5 or 45 kilograms per hectare for both P2O5 and K2O. We also evaluated a broadcast program where we used DAP and potassium chloride 0060. And then we balanced the nitrogen and sulfur to evaluate the potassium and phosphorus. We used urea ammonium nitrate solutions, ammonium thiosulfate, which is a 12-00-26S, and the pre-plant rates of nitrogen and sulfur were about 35 pounds or 39 kilograms per hectare and 45 kilograms per hectare, which equals about 41 pounds of sulfur. And we have a little video here so you can see the strip till in action. So here's our treatment list. We went with an unfertilized control, no P or K. And at the Tidewater location, we had no nitrogen as well, side dress nitrogen on this unfertilized check. But at the Lewiston location, we did apply nitrogen on the fertilized control. Broadcast agronomic control, P and K broadcast. Then we had a liquid starter, which uses 10-34-0 and then broadcast the potassium. Treatments 4 through 9 is a 2x3 factorial design where we looked at P and K rate versus placement. And then treatments 10, 11, 12, and 5 and 8 evaluate different combinations. So we would apply like 40% in the 2x2 band of our nutrients and then 60% in the deep placement. This was done in randomized complete block design. four replications. Analysis variance was done at 0.1. We combined the nutrient management systems at the 40-pound rates and did a single factor ANOVA on that. Then we pulled the 2x3 factorial out to do a factorial analysis, and then the combination of treatments, which I'm not going to talk about, were analyzed as single factors, and we used the Tukey-Kramer method for mean separation. And here is a picture of me standing in the unfertilized check and then the 150% soil test rate plot at Tidewater. Row spacing was 0.91 meters or 36 inches. Plot length was 12 meters or 40 feet. In-season plant measurements, we measured plant population, plant height, total nodes from first square to first bloom, and then nodes above white flower starting at first bloom. We did a petiole testing and tissue sampling. We took first through 9 weeks of petioles, and we took that from the fourth leaf down the main stalk, and we took 24 petioles per plot, immediately attaching the petioles from the leaf samples. They were analyzed for nitrate N, phosphorus, potassium, and sulfur. And then we also pulled leaf samples at the first and fifth weeks of bloom, and that was a complete nutrient analysis on those. Lint quality was taken using a two-row modified cotton picker. It was ginned on a tensile microgen for percent lint, and then HVI analysis was done at the USDA lab in Florence, South Carolina. So here's our early season data. We saw no differences among the nutrient management systems in terms of plant population. So it didn't look like the high rates or the banded rates in the 2x2 band with the N, P, K, and S blends had an effect on plant population. But when we started looking at the Tidewater location at the nutrient management systems, what we see is about 5 weeks after planting, we start to see plant height differences. It started out that just the starter control was different from the unfertilized control, but then we started to see that the complete nutrient blend in the 2x2 was significantly different from the broadcast control as well as the unfertilized control, and that maintained until about through July 10th, and where the unfertilized control was the only difference. But I really think our PGR application really affected the plant height measurements and the differences we saw. And that was applied the 28th of June, and as you see, the differences become less apparent about 2 weeks after we applied that PGR application. This is the factorial analysis of plant height at Tidewater. We definitely saw a placement effect. The deep placement of the complete nutrient blend was significantly shorter. It started later in the year, but it was significantly shorter at all of our sampling intervals. And we did see a rate effect, but it showed up late at 26th of June. And once we applied the first PGR application, those differences disappeared after that application. So this was at Lewiston. About 2 weeks after we planted, about the first true leaf stage, we had the tropical storm come through, and it really suffered from sandburn. This was conventionally tilled ground. So this was June 17th, about 2 days after the tropical storm. So we let it go. We didn't take any plant height measurements. As you can see, the variability July 2nd as this cotton crop was recovering. And that really affected some of our nutrient levels during the bloom period, and I'll talk a little bit about that. The cotton ended up recovering. This was September 17th. It was still pretty variable, introduced a lot of variability in the study there. But it ended up yielding about 1,300 pounds or so of lint. So these are the petiole phosphorus concentrations through the bloom period. And as I mentioned, Suffolk received no nitrogen, and Lewiston received about 80 pounds per acre at Matchett Square. And we separated them because of that sandburn damage. There was a little bit of delay, and I got the first week petiole results back, and I noticed that the unfertilized phosphorus levels were significantly different than the fertilized with nitrogen. And we know that the nitrogen and phosphorus levels in petioles are inversely related, but I didn't know that it would elevate it this much. And we're making recommendations off a one-shot petiole. If you're nitrogen deficient, it seems, throughout the bloom period, you're going to have elevated phosphorus levels, which are going to give you a false indicator of your phosphorus status in cotton. And so we fertilized Lewiston, and what we found was you see that the curves are totally different. The delay from the sandburn changed the nutrient levels, I believe, and the maturity of that cotton crop, and we don't see a decrease until about the 7 week of bloom. But we do see, once it starts to decrease, we do see that the unfertilized controlled phosphorus levels are the lowest. They're not statistically because of the variability, but they do start to fall along that bottom of that curve like you would expect. And these are the potassium levels, and you see the similar trend with potassium in terms of when we're nitrogen deficient, potassium levels may be a little bit higher, and you can't compare as much. I haven't run the stats on this, but again, once we add in nitrogen at side dress, we start to see that the potassium levels start to become lower in the petioles than the fertilized treatments. Here's the lint yield of the nutrient management systems at Suffolk. We saw no difference when we actually fertilized the plots versus the unfertilized plots. And the unfertilized were statistically lower than the fertilized. So when we did the factorial analysis on lint yield, we saw no difference in lint yield from 20 pounds an acre to 60 pounds per acre. But what we did see is a significant difference at Tidewater in terms of placement. The 2x2 placement yielded significantly higher than the deep placement of the P and K. And we see a similar trend at Lewiston, though these yields are not significantly different. So in summary, early season growth, the 2x2 complete nutrient blend of P and K seems to increase plant height even over the broadcast treatments out of 3 out of the 6 sampling intervals. Nitrogen deficiency elevated to phosphorus and potentially even the potassium levels throughout the bloom period. So if we're going to make recommendations based off these petiole sampling, we're going to have to take into account where our nitrogen is how much nitrogen we have applied up to that point during the season. All the nutrient management systems produce similar lint yields at the Tidewater AREC, other than the unfertilized control. But the 2x2 banded complete nutrient blend did produce higher, statistically higher lint yields at the Suffolk location compared to deep placement. I'd like to acknowledge Fluid Fertilizer Foundation for funding this project. Waters Agricultural Laboratory donated to the foundation all the petiole testing for the project. Tacinderlo Curley donated all the liquid fertilizer for the study. Keith Edmondson secured the land in North Carolina at the research station. Tommy Corbick, who's the Peanut Belt director, for helping us manage that trial so we didn't have to come down for all of our maintenance sprays. And then my two technicians, Gail White and David Horton. And I'll take any questions.
Questions for Hunter. All right, I'm going to play the devil's advocate. A lot of the work done, well, let me first ask a question. Did you take into consideration rainfall events in reference to your petiole testing?
No, we have that data.
Okay.
But we have not. I haven't looked at the correlation between.
And the reason I'm asking that, because there was a lot of work done in Auburn, Alabama, back in the late 70s, early 80s on petiole testing, mm-hmm. and found that the highest correlation with anything was with rainfall events, because the petiole is actually a conduit. So you don't know whether nitrogen or phosphorus or potassium is moving into the leaf or out of the leaf. So that's why, have you taken some of those things into consideration?
Yeah, we have, and I wanted to look at that because you see some fluctuation in our data points.
And that, you saw those when they split, yep. too.
But we've done a lot of petiole testing with nitrogen as well, and we get great correlations, mm-hmm. especially during the first week of bloom with our nitrogen rate. And even with yield during the first week of bloom. We know that the petiole is a conduit. The other thing is, for phosphorus and potassium, some of our leaf data is more highly correlated to actual management practices than the petiole data. So I'm leaning towards, for Virginia, if we're going to develop a tissue testing, nitrate may be fine for petioles, but the phosphorus and potassium and maybe sulfur, going with the leaf data. That's what we've seen with this data set and in our other trials. So.
And I think Paul Bell in Louisiana did some work that I was involved with, also looking at the leaf as opposed to the petiole, and found some pretty good correlations there. Mm-hmm. So you may want to look at that also.
Yeah, and we those leaf samples, that's the reason why we took those leaf samples.
I saw those. Any additional questions? Okay, Hunter, appreciate it. Thank you very much.